The Australian Walking and Cycling Conference kicked off in Adelaide yesterday with the theme Low-Tech Movement in a High-Tech World. With technology playing an increasing role in society, what role would it play in transport and what approach could we utilise when it comes to fixing transportation problems? Treasurer of the conference, Jeremy Miller, he holds a Master's in Urban and Regional Planning. He's a long-term advocate for everyday bicycle transport, and he joins us on the line now. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning. How are we?
Oh, look, very good, very good. Now, I usually ride into the studio, but I have to admit I did get the bus this morning because it was pouring down and it was a bit too windy for riding. But how has the conference been so far?
Oh, it's been great. Yeah, look, it's been a very interesting first day. A diverse range of speakers touching on a vast array of subjects, which I guess shows how much walking and cycling and the research and practice regarding that has been developed.
Adelaide is very well suited to cycling. It is wonderful to ride around here, and I think it's gotten a lot better too in recent years. Look, what are some of the discussions that have been happening, and who actually comes to a walking and cycling conference?
Yeah. Well, look, the conference is aimed at linking up researchers and practitioners. So if the people are at, say, university level who are undertaking research into walking and cycling, and then the people are out there actually on the ground, so to speak, implementing infrastructure and policies and programs and plans at different levels of government, you know, local, state and federal. We've got people from around the country who've come, and people from New Zealand as well. Last year we had some international visitors, not this year unfortunately, but we may indeed again. So it's been a interesting discussions because people bring a lot of different ideas to the conference, and we've got I guess everything from discussions about industry transformation and the role that cycling and the development of cycling industries can have in that, electric bicycles, which I found out yesterday was the fastest growing transport segment in the world. With literally hundreds of millions of these bicycles being built, so much so that suppliers can't keep up with the demand. There's been a lot of talk about bike share systems, so introducing bicycle share systems, whether docked or dockless systems into cities, and the various costs and benefits of those. So, and a lot of discussion around how, you know, cities are essentially platforms, and walking and cycling is an aspect of that platform, part of that platform, and how does that fit into it, and what role does technology have in augmenting that that reality, if you like. Yeah.
Look, I think for a lot of people, the idea of cycling, you know, in a city, particularly, I think if you lived in Sydney, really, it's a bit of a threatening thing. What difference does cycling walking infrastructure make, do you think, you know, to a driver-focused environment?
Look, for both modes, for both cycling and walking, the provision of infrastructure that caters for those modes and uniquely caters for those modes is really important, particularly if you're encouraging new or rusty riders or people to walk more in the city. So you think about walking, you want high quality, you want good surfaces to walk on, you want clear wayfinding and direction so people can find their way, you want wide footpaths, you don't want to be right pushed up against fast-moving traffic, you don't want to be in areas where it's noisy and polluted, you want infrastructure, you want amenity, and you want services when you're walking. Similarly, for cycling, having separated bikeways is a great boon for cyclists, particularly people who are getting back into cycling and they want to start using a bicycle for transport. Separating them from cars, as they do in many parts of Europe, is the logical thing to do. It's unfortunate that a lot of Australian transport planners think that separating bicycles from cars means putting paint on a road. Well, that's one form of separation, but actually having physically separated bikeways and infrastructure that caters for cycling as a serious transport mode is really what's required to take it to the next level and actually overcome a lot of that perceived fear because it's really, when you actually look at the numbers, the safety factor is a perception of safety. But it's not actually real, in a sense. It's people being afraid, and they've totally got a right to be afraid, because it can be frightening, mixing up with cars in traffic. So what we would like to see happen is not to have cyclists having to mix it up with cars in traffic, because cars can tend to be like fast and unpredictable, a bit like rhinoceroses, and we don't want people having to play with cars if they don't have to.
Oh, look, it's a really interesting thing, isn't it? And one wonders how long it will be before the implementers of policy. I know that there's some big lobbyists out there encouraging us to, you know, make things more accessible to cars all the time, and we build bigger roads because apparently that makes, you know, driving faster. And yet, as you just said, they're separated, you know, bikeways. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Frome Street here in Adelaide, but there's a separated bikeway here. And the controversy that surrounded that, you would think that the city was about to fall apart because a separated bikeway was installed. And it is going to be modified somewhat, the separation distance from the cars. But it's a wonderful thing when it does happen, and it's great to ride on them.
Absolutely. No, look, I'm familiar with the ongoing controversy over the Frome Street bikeway. It would seem that any time a piece of infrastructure like that is put in, it is literally the end of the world as we know it. You would think that the world's going to stop spinning, we're all going to be flung into space, when really it is a logical step forward. It really is what cities need to be doing. That style of infrastructure, whether it is, you know, something, you know, directly akin to what the Frome Street bikeway is, or similar styles of infrastructure, but that form of physical separation is very important. And it's a shame that there has been so much controversy over the Frome Street bikeway, and it seems like every step of the way the cyclists have to come out en masse and protest to actually retain infrastructure when it's put in. I guess in some ways that gives the cycling community a degree of protest fatigue. And we ask ourselves, why should we have to lobby and protest so much for what really is, you know, the logical future in the design of cities? We want to be able to share the roads with motorists, and many cyclists are also motorists. We have car licences and we also drive, but we choose to cycle. And when we choose to cycle, what needs to be recognised is we're taking a car off the road. So we're actually making it easier for all the other people who are driving to actually get around, because the more people cycling, you can equate that very directly to less cars on the road, which means less congestion, less pollution, less accidents and more amenity. And I think that's really what needs to be recognised. And people who ride bicycles for transport need to be rewarded for that.
Absolutely. It's interesting how we are so car-oriented, and that you know, we have to rearrange the city for the car. Look, what's on the agenda today, Jeremy?
Oh, look, there's a number of very interesting things coming up. So we're entering day two of a two-day conference, and so we've got... we've got more discussion around the role of technology, and we've got one of our keynote speakers is looking at a device called the Meterbox, which actually can monitor overtaking and passing distances. We've got a presentation on the costs and benefits of the mandatory bicycle helmets. I don't think you can have a cycling conference without discussing mandatory bicycle helmets, because the introduction of helmets in the 1990s saw a huge decrease in cycling, and really... we're starting to look at the data and starting to look at the figures and seeing why. We've got talks on pedestrians, rural pedestrian and shared paths, looking at research-based evidence, trying to guide policy. I mean, there's a lot of research going on in that area. What we've found and what's being talked a lot about at the conference, though, is that cycling participation rates in Australia have flatlined. They're not growing. Yet we've got a lot of policy and a lot of programs that are talking about doubling or tripling the rates of cycling, often with, you know, ambitious dates like 2020. Well, 2020 is really only 2 years away. We're talking about doubling the cycling participation rate in South Australia, one of the cycling plans. Frankly, is that going to happen? Cycling participation rates are not increasing, and the question that a lot of cycling researchers are asking, well, why is that the case? Why is cycling not growing in Australia? So these are a lot of the sort of the hard questions that are being asked in the conference.
Well, I can't wait to hear some of the or to check up some of the discussions on your website after the conference. Now, we have to go fairly quickly, but just before you do go, one thing that is increasing in participation is the number of women speakers at your conferences, and this year it seems that the majority of speakers are women.
Indeed, yes, yes. Last conference, all our keynotes were women. We've got a lot of women talking at the conference this year. You know, it's not something we necessarily plan. It's just how it falls out. It may be that the next conference that there's a higher majority of male speakers, but it's just the nature, I think, of the conference, that it's a very inclusive and it's a very very welcoming conference, and we're open to all who come and speak.
Well, look, thanks so much.
I can't give you an explanation for that, apart from the fact that we're an inclusive conference. Yeah.
Well, that's okay. Well, I hope that some of the policymakers listen to some of the things that come out of your conference, because I think it's a great thing for an increase
in bicycle. We've got a few policymakers in attendance, so hopefully they are listening, yes.
Excellent. And I hope they either walked or rode there, although one might forgive them on a morning like this. Once again, thanks very much, Jeremy.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you.
That was urban and regional planner Jeremy Miller, and he's from the Australian Walking and Cycling Conference. It's on today at the Flinders University campus in Tandanyanga at Victoria Square, and more information can be found at walkingandcycling.com.au.